Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Mr. Attorney General, we're not joking here, and your humor is not acceptable, and your humor is not acceptable.
Well, you know that's a Democrat, because they can't seem to understand any conservative humor, but that was Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker, his hearings on the House, and that was the voice of Texas Representative Sheila Lee Jackson, Let me start that over. That was Texas Representative Sheila Jackson Lee. See, it's got me still laughing. I thought Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker was being asked questions, and Sheila Jackson Lee, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, thought she needed more time. She wanted her time restored, and of course she was looking toward a Chairman Nadler on the House hearing, and Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker said, I don't control your time. So anyway, he was attempting humor in a very tense day. I thought it was hilarious, but obviously Representative Sheila Jackson Lee did not think it was funny, but it is. If you're a conservative, I don't think Democrats laugh about anything. They're too politically correct. But you are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. Were the rocks cracking last week? It was the State of the Union address by President Donald Trump. I believe it could be a turning point in his presidency, and we're going to talk about that in today's show. Before we get to that, we do have to talk about, well, we've already mentioned the hearings of Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker, so I think that's all we need to say. There was some comedy there. And the Democrats just they were practicing questions for two years, it seems like, and to take a crack at him. And they'll probably get him back out there. The thing is, what's the funny thing about it, he's not going to be on job about six more days. Now, listen, we have, before we get to the State of the Union address, two big things we got to talk about. One of them, and I won't be able to say much because it's ongoing. Even as we tape this show, we don't know what's happening in the state of Virginia. Their political leadership, it's in chaos right now. You got a governor who just about every prominent Democrat around the country has asked to resign, has told him he should resign. And as of this recording for this week, he says he won't resign, and he's not planning to resign. But if he did resign, then the lieutenant governor is in trouble because of some sexual assault allegations. Very serious allegations. And therefore, there's people calling on him to resign. He happens to be African-American, and the governor now, the sitting governor, happens to be white. But there were a lot of people thought, well, we would get a black governor for Virginia if the governor resigned, but now the lieutenant governor has problems. And then the third in line to be governor, if those two resigned, would be the attorney general, who said he has some of the same problems as the governor. He appeared in blackface, and which is so offensive to so many Americans, especially those in African-American communities across the country, but especially in the state of Virginia. And then the fourth in line would be a Republican who people dug out some yearbooks that he is not in any pictures, but they say he had a hand in doing a yearbook, so therefore he can be culpable to some of the images that are in the yearbook, but he says he had nothing to do with those. So the state of Virginia is in a political chaos. You got national Democrats of all authority, many running for the presidency now, are calling for the governor to resign, lieutenant governor to resign. And of course, the Democrats don't want to lose power to Republicans if the fourth in line, the Republican, got to be the governor. And there's, I believe, elections coming up this fall for the, not for the governor, but for the state house in Virginia. And that would lead to, I don't know what. Do you? No political consultants that have got ideas. And that's why so many Democrats around the country say these Democrats in Virginia need to resign, because it's just falling flat into their faces about what they've said they've stood for. And then it is just causing chaos. So I have to mention that. We'll keep on it. I will say this. I've promised you a show, and I'm working on it, about racism in America, the word racism, and where do we need to go as a society. And this will play prominently, how it plays out, if it's played out, in putting this show together that we hope to have in just the next few weeks. And so it is very important for our country. We've had many African-American guests on this show, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and liberal and conservative. But I am so glad that we bring people to you, no matter the color of their skin, no matter what party. I am definitely a conservative. I'm like Vice President Pence. I'm a Christian. I'm conservative. And then I'm a Republican. And in that order, that we have a lot of Jewish listeners. I'm proud of every one of our listeners, no matter what their religious faith. I think it's very important. Just last week, we had on David Rubin talking about walls and how important they are. And he's the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. And we talked some about the Jewish voting population here in America. Go back and listen to that show if you haven't. And we'll talk more about it when we talk about the State of the Union address. But I just want to let you know that what's going on in Virginia is causing ripples across the nation, reflection across the nation. Who are we as a nation? Who are we as a people? And it goes very much to the heart of what's going on today. And Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics is going to hit it head on with a show about racism and the word racism and where it comes from and why are we divided into race. So that is coming up, and it will be even more an intensity search for where we are as a country and as a people because of what's going on in Virginia, even as we speak. Now, one other thing before we get in the State of the Union address. The new Green Deal, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, more affectionately being called by her initials AOC. And she is being a big rock star now, just elected to Congress, 29 years old. She's one who has a huge audience. Her audience goes across the country, not just in New York. And she is a socialist, just a proud socialist. And she's talked a lot of things about raising tax rates to 70% on millionaires. And she's also talked about a lot of crazy things, and she's serious about them. But this new Green Deal came out last week that she's helped pushed and put together. And I just have to say, it's something that boggles the mind when she says she wants, has a goal to end all air flight in 10 years. I mean, how do the people of Hawaii think about that? How do people in Australia or New Zealand or the islands all over the Southeast Pacific. Why would you even propose that? Well, she says our country, if we don't get on like a World War II like footing to fight climate change, of course, she says we will be doomed. The earth will end in 12 years. Of course, this 10-year plan to get there is not going to give us much leeway, is it? Well, it is socialism on steroids. And I don't see how the American people could accept it. It's very laughable, if you ask me. But the thing is, she is so serious about it, and there's other people that are serious about it, so much so that I believe the mush that's in many of the heads of people across America, but especially those who've come through our education system the last 20 years, really have mush for brains when it comes to what really is this problem called climate change. Is it just weather? Yes, we've had it for thousands of years. We have got to educate and show people the insanity of some of these crazy left-wing communist ideas. It's just straight out of the Lenin playbook of how to take over society. And so that is something we've got to look at. I had to talk about it, and we'll have to do some more looking to it in future shows. But right now, State of the Union, let's listen to President Donald J. Trump as he started out the evening. Take a listen to this.
As we begin a new Congress, I stand here ready to work with you to achieve historic breakthroughs for all Americans. Millions of our fellow citizens are watching us now gathered in this great chamber, hoping that we will govern not as two parties, but as one nation. The agenda I will lay out this evening is not a Republican agenda or a Democrat agenda. It's the agenda of the American people. Many of us have campaigned on the same core promises to defend American jobs and demand fair trade for American workers, to rebuild and revitalize our nation's infrastructure, to reduce the price of health care and prescription drugs, to create an immigration system that is safe, lawful, modern, and secure, and to pursue a foreign policy that puts America's interest first. There is a new opportunity in American politics if only we have the courage together to seize it.
If only we have the courage to seize it. Well, does Speaker Nancy Pelosi have the courage to seize it? Do the Democrats have the courage to work together with the president, compromise on things we can't all agree on and one accord, but give a little bit of each side? That's the American way. That's what happened with the U.S. Constitution when it was put together. We work together to get the best we can on all sides to move the country forward. I don't see it happening right now. Maybe it will. We'll see. They got about a few days to go to see if they can work out a deal and keep the government shutting down again. And President Trump has laid it out there. He did in a speech, and I think he did a very good job looking all over. That's what we titled the show, Trump's Turning Point State of the Union Speech. Why turning point? Because he's always had his base. He's been looking to add to that base, and he's been hammered repeatedly. We've talked about it on the show. People across America know this president has been thrown everything at. Everything's been thrown at this president to smear him, to make him look anything but presidential. But that's why it was a turning point, because of all the things that President Trump does, and sometimes he makes people mad with his tweets and what he says, and they say he's not presidential. And he stood in that House of Representatives joint session of Congress with the Supreme Court there, with our military brass there, and with leaders of America there, the administration and the senators and House of Representatives. He was presidential. It put a mark on our country that President Trump led America that night in a way he has not done before, in a way the media has always tried to filter him, make him look bad. They don't want people to think good of President Trump. And yet, as he stood there and just basically said, we need to be unified as a nation, as a country. Let's work together. I'm willing to compromise. Will you? And not only that, he reached out to the very living rooms across America, those who were watching the speech, without any of the CNNs, the MSNBC, the ABCs, NBC, CBS, all these people who try to filter him and make him appear to be someone they want him to be and not what he is. He is the President of the United States. And as he stood there and gave his speech, it was a turning point. And on the second half of this show, we're going to talk about why it's a turning point. We're going to play a little bit more of his speech. And I got to tell you, before we get into our halftime break here, I got to tell you, I really believe Donald Trump sank into the hearts of many independents. I think a lot of Americans, even some Democrats, have to admit this man was so presidential as he gave his State of the Union speech that I think he's winning people over. Will they vote for him today or tomorrow? Maybe not, but they're saying there's something that the media has been hiding about this man, and maybe they've been lying about some of this. His base knows they've been lying about President Trump. But the truth is starting to come out. As they say, the cream rises to the top. President Trump is looking very presidential. Now, as before we get in the second half of the show, let me remind you, you're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. This is Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. We're glad you're listening to us. We've got some new listeners, even from the wall. Last week, our whole topic about the wall, and David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, as he joined us and gave us such a great insight. Don't you agree? Go back if you've not heard that show, or tell your friends and neighbors. It was put around the country by a lot of folks. And I just have to tell you, that was a show so important to our nation right now, because we're in this debate about a wall. Do we need a wall? Do walls work? Tell them to listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics show, last week's show, and the country will know, yes, we need that wall. Build that wall. Yes, indeed. You can click on a book there on our front page of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Says Bedrock Truths, and have to tell you that it is the bedrock truth this country is founded on. And I told you, we had some compromises to get our United States Constitution, but we have some solid principles, and that's what I talk about. Dr. Alveda King, Dr. Alex McFarland, as we put together this book called Bedrock Truths. If you don't have one, go ahead to the webpage there and you can order one. We'll get one out to you. Be glad to get that out to you. Need to get one for your friends, your relatives. If you need to get one for all the liberals in your family, go ahead and order Bedrock Truths right there on Doc Holliday's website. It's www.docholliday.org. Two L's and Holliday. Be glad to get a book out to you if you order that. Now, for the second half of the show, we're going to play some of the speech from Donald Trump as he's talking about the need for a wall.
Congress has 10 days left to pass a bill that will fund our government, protect our homeland, and secure our very dangerous southern border. Now is the time for Congress to show the world that America is committed to ending illegal immigration and putting the ruthless coyotes, cartels, drug dealers, and human traffickers out of business. As we speak, large, organized caravans are on the march to the United States. We have just heard that Mexican cities, in order to remove the illegal immigrants from their communities, are getting trucks and buses to bring them up to our country in areas where there is little border protection.
Is there any doubt here that we need a wall? Is there any doubt in any American's minds? They may say with their lips, we don't need a wall, but they got to know a wall is needed. But they've taken a political stance instead of a stance for the American people and for the safety and security of the American people. Continue on, Mr. President.
I have ordered another 3,750 troops to our southern border to prepare for this tremendous onslaught. This is a moral issue. The lawless state of our southern border is a threat to the safety, security, and financial well-being of all America. We have a moral duty to create an immigration system that protects the lives and jobs of our citizens. This includes our obligation to the millions of immigrants living here today who followed the rules and respected our laws. Legal immigrants enrich our nation and strengthen our society in countless ways. I want people to come into our country in the largest numbers ever, but they have to come in legally.
Now, I played that applause line, and it did go a long time because in State of the Union addresses, you know, it's just it's traditional for a lot of long clapping on different parts of speeches. And I have to say, President Trump even got the Democrats up, even though they looked like they were forewarned not to stand up and clap. Several of them did. And then finally they got up when President Trump told them that we had more women in the American Congress than we've ever had before, and they stood up and clapped. And then afterwards, a lot of them said, he didn't even know that we're the ones, we beat him, and that's why we were there. But I think Trump knew exactly what he's doing, and for good measure, he celebrated the fact we have more women in Congress than ever before, and they just can't seem to be able to take a compliment. But it was very noticeable that a lot of the Democratic women wore white, and they sat on their hands most of the night. Even when they had things that you'd think anybody would stand up and clap on, when President Trump talked about the lowest African American unemployment and lowest Hispanic unemployment in the history of ever taking records of the unemployment, and they would not stand for that. They would not stand up and clap. Majority of them. There were always a handful of the Democrats that would. But very interesting, and that's why I believe President Trump's speech was such a turning point. Let's get back to that. Why the State of the Union address was such a turning point, because many people across America could see President Trump and understand, as he said, and went over the emphasis of why we need a wall. But more than that, he looked like he wanted to unify. He used some special guests there. He was very appropriately asking some World War II veterans who had hit the beaches on D-Day. And early on in the speech, he talked about them, and they got a standing ovation, very deservedly. And it helped us to teach our young people how important these heroes were who stormed the beaches of Normandy on D-Day. But not only that, one of the guys that stormed the beaches went on to liberate I believe Dachau concentration camp, but there's one of the concentration camps, and there was a Holocaust survivor there, and it was one. He was one of the guys that this guy liberated when he was a child, and it is amazing, absolutely amazing how the speech came full circle around, and it touched the hearts of Americans everywhere, as did many of the other guests there. But it was such a well-written speech, and President Trump utilized several citizens that we have that we can celebrate. We all can celebrate the heroes that they are. But that's what helped bring America together. But one of the things that was very special, President Trump stood up for the wall. He didn't back down. He stood up for why we need the wall, and you heard that as we played that speech, a part of the speech. But now, one of the things, he came with a conciliatory attitude. He looked very presidential, and that's what people say, oh, he's not presidential. He was very presidential on the State of the Union address. But not only that, I talked about him celebrating the women and celebrating women in the workforce and there, even there in Congress. But he did not back down when it came up to issues of the day, when the words from the governor of Virginia about abortion, and abortion even up to the day of birth, and how a baby could be born, and then the mother and the doctor, if the mother didn't want to keep it, and the doctor, they could decide and let it keep it comfortable unto death. And President Trump rightly said, well, you could have a baby and then execute that baby. Infanticide. And this was something that's passed in New York State with cheers. But the governor of Virginia, that really caused the beginning of maybe the end of his governorship, because it so upset someone who knew what this was in his yearbook. Something they had to know during the election and everything else. They didn't bring it out, maybe because he was a friend, maybe somebody's acquaintance. But nobody knew about this in the yearbook, evidently, because he ran the campaign, and the fact was he ran a campaign about his opponent being a racist. And then here he was, the governor in blackface with Ku Klux Klan picture on his pages in the yearbook, in a medical yearbook in the early 80s. But what President Trump did, he got up there in the State of Union address, and he talked about how important it was to support life, to protect life. And he did not back down and looked very presidential. And it was good that he stood up for life. And then not only that, now what this is the one thing, I'm going to get this as we finish up the show. To me, one of the most important parts of the whole speech was when President Trump said, we've never been socialist and we will never be socialist. He said socialism is not for American. It's not the American dream. And when he said that, of course, the Republicans are clapping, but the Democrats looked like deer in a headlight. They didn't know what to do. Some of them started to stand and then sat back, looked around who was standing. Others refused to stand. So many of them would refuse to stand because they are socialist. It called them out. If I was the Republican Party, the head of it, or someone who's making ads, even now I would be making an ad of that when he said we are not not socialist, which is going is communist light. But so many Democrats did not budge. They sat down. They would not clap that. I would have that on tape. I would have it playing in districts where these representatives are to show their true socialist colors. Socialism. Left wingers. Those who don't believe in America or the American dream. They want to tear America up and start it over with a whole new constitution. That's what the socialist dream is. Get rid of America as we know it. Reinvent America with a new constitution that that does not protect us from our government. You know, we're unique. We've talked about on this show, our United States Constitution does not spell out what the government will do for you. It spells out what the government cannot do. You have rights as an American citizen. You have rights. Why? Because our Declaration of Independence declares you were given these rights by God, not by government. And that's the difference that lives on in our government through the U.S. Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And it is what makes America tick. It's in our DNA. And this is Doc Holliday saying the State of the Union address, when we look back at it, many will say in the mainstream media, if they have to finally give up and say Trump looks like he'll be reelected, or if he gets reelected, they'll say we should have known it, because it's a turning point when he gave that State of the Union speech in 2019. Maybe historians will write about it, remember it. But I want you to remember, tell your friends and neighbors about Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. If you didn't listen to last week's show, go back and listen to the show of David Rubin, a very, very important show, I believe, at this point in season of American history. Now, next week, we'll continue with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Until then, God bless, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen, or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.